Dynasty Radio 1382.
Understand you by and by. Take nothing less than the suffering best. Do not obey, no mistake or say, but you can pass the test. Just move on up to a greater day. With just a little of faith, if you put your mind to it, you can surely do it.
This is Paula Massey with the Education of the Miseducated System. How are you doing on this fine Tuesday afternoon? I'm here in California, and I want to let you know that this is a live call-in talk show. You're listening to Dynasty Radio 1382, the revolutionary radio for revolutionary people. And this is the Education of the Miseducated System. If you want to call in, talk to me, have a comment, a question, dial 646-716-7572. Press the number 1. It would definitely call on you. Okay. Basically, today I want to talk to you about some of the things I was talking about on last week, and that is what has happened in Oakland, California. It was Oakland, California. And it was talking about a group of people who have the spectrum, gender spectrum. It's a group of people that has come into Redwood Heights Elementary School in Oakland, California, to teach a class called Gender Diversity. Okay? So I said that I was going to do some research and look up some things and look at these people who are bringing this into the school, and that's exactly what I've been doing. I'm going to go to my page here, and I'm going to be talking to you about that, but I want to hear from you. I want to hear what you have to say about it, because we all need to be a part of what's actually going on. We need to understand what is happening. If we decide that this is something that we want to do, is still enroll our children in the public school system. Okay? So we need to be aware of what's happening. Those of you who want to pull your child out of the school, we've talked to you for a few years about how to go about doing that, and people are posting on my Facebook page about curriculum, how to choose your curriculum, and I've given you many sites that you can go to, even Kamali Institute, pulling up their information for their books. If you want to have an Afrocentric curriculum. So there's many things that we've posted, but this is really something that I want to talk about, because the gender diversity program, and as I was looking at it more, at one of the classes, they target a fourth grade class. Let's think back to when we were in fourth grade. What were we doing? Okay, so you were no longer a third grader. So now you're a fourth grader, and you're feeling a little bit better about yourself. Like, I'm not in that baby state. But now I'm getting older, and soon I'll be in fifth and sixth. Fourth grade going on to fifth grade. So basically what we're doing is we're trying to fit in. We're transitioning. And we're trying to fit in. We're trying to find ourselves. We're still not old enough to do whatever we want to do. We're still that child. But there's more that is being introduced to us. So I looked at this Oakland school, Redwood Heights Elementary School, and I began doing some research on it. And it is in what they call a middle-class community. And there's like 37% African-American or black. There's 37% white people. So, you know, it's racially cohesive. It has a lot of different races there, but they're all running neck and neck. And the average house costs about $533,000 for the average house, and it used to be an old logging camp there. So just picture that town and picture the school. The school is not doing too bad when it comes to the APA. They're it's supposed to be 10, they're at 7, so they're meeting what they're supposed to be meeting as far as the educational part of the students. But my thing is, why are we inculcating, meaning constantly pushing this curriculum on these students, and who is at the helm of it? When I say inculcate, is you're constantly bombarding over and over and over and over. It's like the drip of the water that's beating on the smooth stone. What happens to that smooth stone? Eventually, that water keeps dripping, and it is going to put a hole in it. And we've seen where we got stones out of the rivers where they had indentions. That's because something was constantly beating on that. I posted last week on this page, on my page, this video, and I hope all of you got a chance to look at it, about the gentleman who is talking to these students, and basically he's talking to them about animals. How many genders or that each animal has? Do they have two sexes, or they just have one? What is the correct answer, true or false? All animals have two sexes. To have one sex. Starts off with that, and then he starts talking about the wonderful dolphin. And then he talks about gender. You could have a different gender. And gender is in your mind. Okay, it's in your heart. You could be a boy and want to feel like you're a girl, or you could be a girl and feel like you're a boy, or you could be like what he says, me. As he's talking to the students, he has his back to them, and he has a shirt on that says family. Big letters. What is that telling you? To me, that's saying a whole lot. It really is. It's telling me this information. I'm really family. I'm not here to hurt you. I'm here to help you. So basically, that's where I'm at. That's what I'm feeling about this. Okay. So let's go on here. And I'm sorry for that interruption of beeps. But let's look at this here. I'm looking now. This when I really got to looking into this, it looks like this has been something that has been going in the school district. And I just got the information, the 411. But it looks like it's something that has been going on since 2011. And sometimes, you know, I don't live in Oakland. I don't get the information, but I get what you guys send across to my Facebook page. And I appreciate every bit of it because I haven't heard it, there's a lot of other people that have not heard what's going on. Last week I was talking about, you know, the fact that Johnny still can't read, but we're teaching stuff like this in our school. And Oakland is not that far from me, so when is this going to come down to my area? And it's saying that the teachers' union is funding this gender identity curriculum. Now, from what I'm understanding, the definition of gender, there's two definitions. There's a definition of gender, and I looked it up, and gender is, I'm pulling it up right now, the state of being male or female, typically used with the reference to social and cultural differences rather than the biological. Your sex, what your sex is, your biological thing, what you were born with. Your gender is what you attribute yourself to be. So at these schools, they're not teaching sexual identity, that you're a boy because this is what you have, or you're a girl, this is what you have. But they're teaching gender identity. This is what you can be, and it's okay to feel that way. Somebody else at the dictionaryreference.com, they said a grammatical, let's see, It says that there are three genders. There are masculine, female, and neuter. Okay? Masculine is a pronoun. He is masculine. She is feminine. It is neuter. So you can't say she is neuter. You can't say he is neuter. It is it. It doesn't have what it's supposed to be. So what is the root word? Where do we get the word neuter from? What happens when you neuter an animal? You take away that sexual part of them. They still have the penis, they still have the vagina, but you're clipping those things that would cause them to reproduce. I'm looking at neuter right now. Define neuter. Neuter is lacking developed sexual organs or having had them removed. Okay? To castrate or stay. So I don't know how we, and I noticed that when we fill out applications and stuff, they'll have you do M as male. We always say M as male or F as female. But I just, when looking at this, I thought, could they be talking about our genders? Our gender, male is masculine, female is feminine, and it's neuter, but you don't ever see neuter. So if I have a young, if there's a young lady who was born a girl, and she's feeling masculine, is she going to put F as feminine, or is she going to put M as masculine? That's something that we have to look at. And maybe we could look at that. Maybe we could say, is this, when next time you have to fill out something, are you asking me, am I male or female, or am I masculine or feminine? Ooh, that would send somebody. Like, well, I guess it's male or female, but is it really? Is it really? That's something to think about. So let's look at a little bit more. In this video that I posted last week, the gentleman who was really upset about what the school was doing, he used the word inculcate. He said, we are inculcating these young people, which he is absolutely right. We're dripping, dripping, dripping. I remember, I want to share with you, I remember when I was working in an organization here in my town, and it, you know, Head Start was in the same building, the daycare program was in the same building. And I remember, even probably before that, when they started pulling books that were saying, that I had, it was when I was working, and they were pulling books that had a traditional family, a mommy, a daddy, you know, and especially the Hispanic community, grandma, grandpa. They were pulling those books because that is not what was actually going on in our community. So then they said, I live with my mommy, and then I live with my daddy sometimes. Then they started having the books, I have two mommies. Right? But the two mommies were not mommy and stepmommy. It was mommy one, mommy two, and I live with my two mommies, and my two mommies sleep in the same bed together. I have two daddies, daddy one, daddy two. And so it shows the family as having someone having the gender of being masculine and feminine in both families. And that child was, you know, those are the books that were coming out. So this is where we are right now. Now we have the there's a book that's out talking about My Princess Boy. And some of you might have heard it on the news. This woman, she wrote a book about her son because her son always wanted to wear dresses. So she wrote a book about, a little children's book about my princess son. And then somebody else also put out a book not long ago in the schools in Maine. We're reading these books to the students without parental without the parents actually knowing what was going on. And the name of that book was I Am Jazz. okay, is about a boy who wanted to be a girl. And also remember, you know what, we really, these are the things that are coming to our school. I'm sorry. This is the things that are coming to your school, and it may not have hit it now, but if you're in California, no, if Oakland is doing it, it's going to trickle down. Now, Oakland, if that school has good scores and everything else is going on with that school, but Oakland has a whole lot of schools in there that are poor and that are not doing very well. Johnny and Joanne still can't read. How is it that we're going to teach this and those kids can't even read, and we're putting all of this money in our school system, the educational money that is going to, we're having a bunch of money that's coming in for our literacy, and they still can't read. Where's that money going to? What are your thoughts on that? What are your thoughts on it? Let me tell you a little bit more about this. The Teachers Union funds gender identity curriculum. And this idea, so the pro-family leader in California says it's alarming that the Teachers Union, that's what I said, the Teachers Union, is paying for sexual indoctrination course for elementary students. All students at Redwood Heights Elementary School in Oakland were instructed by Gender Spectrum, a Bay Area-based organization that hosts training events and consultations aimed at questioning the role of gender in society. Students were encouraged to question whether there were such things as boy colors, toys just for girls. A Gender Spectrum instructor read to the students the book titled My Princess Boy, a story about a boy who liked to wear dresses. Okay. Now, somebody did a poll that's relating to this. And it says, this is a poll to the parents, what would be your first step if you found your child was being indoctrinated in a gender identity program at school? They got 6,575 responses. 1,116 parents said, we're going to ask to review the program materials. 1,100 parents said, complain to the school officials. 624 said, keep my child home until program is canceled. And 3,735 parents said, remove my child from that school. Wow. So I'm wondering, the child goes to that school, they're teaching, and you have 624 students that says, keep your child home until that program is canceled. Really? You think that program is going to be canceled? The only way it's going to be canceled is if you look into the school board and you go to your state assemblyman or whoever you got to go to or the teachers union and raise sand, because that money, you're paying for that money. Even if you don't agree with this, Oakland families, you're paying for this money. You own a home, your property taxes is paying for this program. Let's go a little bit. Jim Schubert of the CORE report explains that the organization encourages radical methods of experimentation, including placing gender-neutral restrooms in schools. And I know that they were doing that in my school area. That they had in the newspaper on the front page that they were going to have neutral gender school bathrooms at a high school. So I got my first caller, and I want to invite my first caller in. And how are you doing, my sis?
Okay.
Hello.
I'm not ready. I'm not ready, but I'm ready. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. It's good to hear your voice.
Hey, this is Lakia, Empress T. I just got a couple things to say because you're talking about something that I just by seeing what's happening with the gender diversities and stuff like that is happening in the school system, I'm convinced that some parents really don't understand the urgency or how serious this is when we allow our children to continue to go to these facilities, these indoctrinating facilities, I might add, to continue mm-hmm. to go to these facilities and not understanding that, you know, that is a confused thing. Now, I'm not talking against people who want to, you know, whatever you do in your bedroom is what you do in your bedroom. But when it comes
right.
out and it spills over into the school system, because that in itself can be a confused state when you got two people who are the same sex and are, you know, doing what they do. That's one thing. But when you're in the school system and the child comes to school, these days you can't even tell. They're letting the children dress however they want to dress and wear. The boys dress like girls and the girls dress like boys. You can't tell the difference anymore. Now, some people may mm-hmm. not care about that. Oh, I don't care if they can tell the difference. Well, me personally, I care if anything that can confuse my child's mind is going to be detrimental to their thinking. So, therefore, I don't understand why parents don't really take this serious. We've been talking about homeschooling your children for so long that, you know, parents have, and that's not all of them, because there's some who are actually taking, you know, steps to pull their children out. But you have a lot more who still say, well, you know, I got to work these hours, or, you know, I can't do this and I can't do that, or I don't know how to homeschool, and all these different excuses. But to me, when your child is your number one priority, you will make things happen for your child. So I'm just not understanding. Now they have, you know, same-sex everything in the school system. You know, the girls can go in the boys' bathroom. The boys can go in the girls' bathroom. It's crazy to me, but I don't know what it's going to take. Maybe it's going to take when they start letting children, you know, bring guns and knives to school. Maybe that's going to shake people from not wanting their children to attend. I don't know what it's going to take. But, again, not to say anything against those who want to do what they do in their own bedrooms, because, you know, if you're grown, you do what grown folks do. But now you are actually putting that into the system where children are, which I'm not mad at the system, because that system was never created for the melanin-rich being in the first place. So when you have so-called black children in this system, we can't really get mad at the system. We have to find ways to take control of this and to realize what you've been saying for the last couple of two or three years, that we are our first teacher. We are our child's first teacher. So we got to keep that in mind when we send our children to these places, and then we say, well, you know, I don't like the fact that they're changing the laws. And if you don't like the fact they're changing the laws, then you make some changes in who watches and teaches your child and bring your child up.
You are absolutely
correct. I know I said a lot, but
correct.
That's what I, you know,
no,
in
hey,
nutshell.
It was a lot, but right. it was all good, because you're absolutely right. We fuss. Things are happening, and we want to sit back and fuss about what's happening. But like you said, it was never intended for us. These schools were never, when they were created, they were not intended for us. Now, mind you, there were schools that were intended for free black people, but we never got what we needed to get. We never got what the white students had. But we got a whole lot more, because there were people who were teaching us that looked like us. And we didn't have to deal with all this craziness. There's not mm-hmm. much you're going to do. When you see the teachers' union, who fusses about teachers who are not qualified to teach, and you want to give them tenure after being there for 2 years, and you know they're not doing what they're supposed to do. Those teachers have slipped through. You can't really fire them, and then they got tenure, and you got to find a way to pinch them off, because they're not going to even be able to be fired unless they do stuff. Mm-hmm. I remember a few years, I was listening to this video. It's called Waiting for Superman by Jeffrey Canada and Michelle Reed, and they showed the what they call a rubber room in New York, where the teachers who maybe been charged with something or did something in the classroom that was not appropriate, they were still getting their full medical, they were still getting their full pay, and they go to this place and they sit there and they record, they play cards, they read newspapers, they lay their head down. For all the time that they're supposed to be in a classroom, they're in this called the rubber room. I'm not sure that they still have the rubber room, but these are the things that are being done. So once you have a teacher that's tenured, and this is what the school teachers union is doing, now they have funds that are going into this gender identity. And when I say gender, like I said, it's not so much as you're a boy because you have sexual boy parts or you're a girl because you have sexual girl parts. No, your gender is what you feel. So they're telling these kids whatever you feel. And then on top of that, the young man has a shirt on the back of his shirt talking about family. Oh, come on now. What are we doing? We have to wake up grandparents, parents, auntie, uncles. If you're listening, if you're seeing the show or if you watch the video, you have an obligation to share. You, people may get upset with you, but you know, once you share it, it stays in their brain. So what goes in our ears stays here. There's no way it's going to come out. They may not act on it, but eventually something's going to click and they're going to remember that you said this is going on. You're absolutely right. We have to, as black parents, we have to make the decision, is this what we're going to do? If we're going to put our child in a public school, we need to be a part of that public school. We need to be there. We need to show up. We don't need to just drop our children off, not know who their teacher is, and all of that stuff, and just say, you're going to go to school. No, you need to be a part of that. You need to know what's going on. You have in this poll, they did 3,735, almost half of the responses. They said they're pulling their child out of their school.
And I don't even believe all of them. I believe they just talking. Because this stuff, I mean, there's so many different things that are happening in the school systems with, you know, with the shooting and the gangs and the drugs and all this other stuff, and people are not pulling their children out. Molestation and everything is happening in the school system. Nobody's pulling their children out, really. I mean, you know, for them to say, well, 3,000 of us say we'll pull our children out, well, it sounds good on paper. But are you really going to do that? Because, and I do understand that there are circumstances that cause people to have to be in a situation where I can't really pull them out right now because of what I'm in. I got to work, you know, I got, you know, all the different things I have to do. And I understand that. But when are you going to make a decision about the most important thing in your life, which is the well-being and the development of your child? That is number, that's more important than your work. I know your children got to eat. I know they got to have a place to stay, but you got to come up with a plan where you can juggle all of that. That is the whole point of, or that is one of the obligations of having children. You know, if you know, when you have children, you got to be able to balance some stuff. You got to balance stuff, you know. And so when you continue to trust other people with your child's upbringing and development, then you cannot be surprised when your child walks through the door and you don't recognize your child. Your child is confused more than ever on any level. I don't care if it's sexual or whatever. You cannot be surprised when your child develops into somebody or something that you can't even recognize, because you don't have no idea who you're putting your child's life, what hands you're putting your child's life into. So even, you know, right. Even if I show up at the school, it's like this. Mm-hmm. If it's a rule, if they make it a rule saying, hey, you know, you can use each other's bathrooms and you can do this and you can do that, then there's nothing a parent can do when they show up at that school. And like we've been saying, you got to remember, that school is not created to turn out productive young people. Schools are designed to teach you how to operate in their system. So once your child graduates, now they have been qualified to work for them on their plantation. So we got to remember that. We got to remember that. So therefore, we have to become what we were when we first gave birth to them, their first teacher. How funny is it to give birth to a baby and then pass that child over to somebody else to raise? That ain't even right. That's not even the African way, if we want to talk about that. That's not the African way.
Yeah.
They actually laugh at us. Not really laugh, but they're feeling sorry for us. Like, why are you giving your children over to people you don't even know? You know, and we do it, and we do it all the time because we think that's the American way. Get married, have babies, put them in the daycare center, you go to work, make a living. That's the American way. But that's not the African way. So you do have another call, though, at 414 if you want to take that, because, you know, I can continue talking all day. You want to take 414?
I want to go ahead. I want to go ahead and comment on what you said because when you said that about just to think about it, we have these children six weeks later or however long you want to be at home with your baby. Then you put them in a daycare center. Then you put them in the elementary school. And when you're elementary school, count how many hours that child is away from you. But this is what I've also said to the parents. I said, if you feel like this is something that you have to do at this moment, that you need to create something else that you need to talk to your children about. You have your weekends off. If you have the weekends, you need to pull yourself together with other people like-minded with you. Let's start teaching our children about who they are. You can bring that, you know, you gotta bring something in to offset what they're getting. And I think the stuff that we're teaching can really offset that. Just come on, family. I'm serious. It's, you know, I wouldn't want to raise my children in this day and age right now in school. I'm glad my children are grown, and I would not want them to be in school. I see too much stuff going on in my community as far as high school students, elementary school students, students who can't read. And now, why can't, as a teachers union got money to fund this program, why can't they fund a reading program? But when somebody like me comes into school and says, okay, can I do a tutoring? Can I pull some of your students out who are in your tutoring program that need extra help? Oh, no, we can't do that. We don't have the money for that. But you have the money for some craziness like this. Let's take the other caller because I can just go on and on and on. Okay.
They actually put their hand down, so I guess they don't want to talk anymore. But, you know, it's just crazy. It's crazy because I know with me, all three of my children are grown, but I do have a granddaughter. All three of my children, they did go to school. Actually, I raised them in a Catholic school. That's another story. But I had to spend years trying to undo what I did when I put them in Catholic school because they were all messed up. But even then, you know, even after my baby, when he got into, I think, fourth or fifth grade, I pulled him out and started homeschooling him until now he's in his last year in high school. But he only been in school for probably the last couple of years. He'd been homeschooled this whole time. But, you know, I had to make a decision. And that's all I'm trying to get across to parents, that we have to make a decision. We got to stop trusting. We trust people too much. We trust that they're going to give our children the proper information, and you know, and we're putting their life into other people's hands. You know, you can't trust. You can't, unless you're going to go, like you said, if you're going to sit in the classroom every day and see the information that's coming into your child, then that's one thing. But if you're not there, you're just sending them off and making sure they look cute and got their little hair greased up and whatever, got their books, whatever have you, and you send them off, and all you can do is just go to work and hope and pray if you do that they're going to be okay. But it's a mental thing. It's really a mental and spiritual thing when you send your children in the midst of all of this stuff. You have to not only, and I'm not saying to keep your child in the dark where they don't know what's going on. No, you got to discuss. I discuss these types of things with my children and grandchildren, whatever. I discuss what is happening in the world today because you don't want to not tell them and then have them go out in the world and see something that they can't even, you know, recognize. They're like, what the hell is this? No, you don't want to do that.
Right.
But you do have to set that foundation for them so when they do go out, they'd be like, oh, yeah, I know this one. Mama told me this. Mama told me about this. Daddy taught me about that. They already know. They won't be surprised by what they see.
Right.
I'm telling you, it's to the point now where you really, the confusion has magnified itself. This is a ball of confusion that's happening in the United States. Notice I didn't say America because that's a whole other entity. But it's about a ball of confusion that is happening in the United States, and we have to remember one thing if we don't know anything else. These people who are putting these laws in to being here in the United States. They came from England, from Europe. They ran over here. They was they had over there homosexuality was rampant. Child pedophilia was rampant, and they're bringing all of that to the United States or into America, the United States is, and next thing you know, we're going to be passing a law, you know, for pedophilia to be, you know, legal. That's coming up next. So what is it going to take? Are we going to wait for them to do that? Now you got teachers at the school who are going to legally be messing with your children. You know, we don't think it's happening, but watch to see what I tell you. They're trying to right now. There's a brother, and I'm going to call his name because I don't care. They call him King Noble. I just call him Noble. He actually put a video out saying that so-called blacks in the conscious community should go down and lobby to legalize pedophilia in the school. Not in schools, but to legalize pedophilia, period. I'm like, what the hell?
Really?
Yes, yes it is. I put that video in your inbox, so you can check it out. This is very, very serious, and whatever reason, excuse he has going on for why he wants to have this done is not enough. There's no excuse, period, where you're going to sit here and continue to subjugate children to this kind of nonsense that's happening.
Yeah. Yeah, like you said, whatever you want to do in your own bedroom, you do it, but when it comes to these babies, no. No, 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 no. And, no. So basically, you know, I was looking at this article, and this guy, Shannon Price Minter, he's all for this. He's an attorney. He is a legal director of the National Center for Lesbian Rights, and he's one of the nation's leading advocacy organizations for lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people.
Okay. That's okay.
You're right.
He led the council for the same-sex couples in the landmark California marriage equality case, which held the same that sex couples could same-sex couples could have fundamental rights to marry. He was also the lead attorney in the Christian Legal Society versus Hastings, a United States Supreme Court decision upholding student group policies. Now, you know how we have all those groups in our schools, high schools? You have the Black Student Union, you have the Mexican group, the sewing group. Now we have the gay, lesbian, transgender, bisexual group. And he led that in California to make sure that these groups, these kids can have their own group. And they do have their group, especially in our area. They have their groups. And then on top of this, our president, Barack Obama, he appointed this guy to the President's Commission on White House Fellowships.
Not surprising.
And I just thought about that when you said, you said what?
I said not surprising.
Right. He is also the legal director of the National Center for Lesbian Rights and has been lead counsel and a number of legal wins for the LGBT community. He was also the lead attorney arguing before the California Supreme Court to overturn Proposition 8. Now, Proposition 8 was something that was on the ballot in California. We said, okay, we don't want same-sex marriages. We don't want that. But then because he was fighting so hard for it, it overturned. Now it's all over. Now anybody can get married. And you do what you want to do in your home.
Yeah.
Even if you got children, you do what you want to do. But when you have, like I said, when you're coming into the school, and they had the fourth graders, like I was saying before, fourth grade, think back, fourth grade, where were you? What were you thinking? You were so confused because now you're no longer a third grader considered as a baby. Now you're in the fourth grade. You're getting ready to get into the fifth grade. You're trying to find yourself. Where do I fit? So you're confusing me now.
Yeah.
You're bringing this stuff to me. And then when you got then you're trying to target kindergartners and first grade, and you targeted it with animals. What do children love? Animals.
Animals.
So why are you going to use a dolphin? Hello, Flipper.
Well, that's what you have to get them, though. That's where you have to get them, sis, because we already know that in the kindergarten is where you learn everything you're going to be learning for life. You're going to learn it in kindergarten. So we're better place
to start. I learned in kindergarten, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so what better place to start than to start them at, you know, at such a young age so that they can, you know, mold their minds and their thinking. And I just think it's not fair. If you grow up and you want to be a homosexual, then I think that's a decision that you have made upon yourself, but not something that somebody has you know, kind of instilled in you. And people say, well, they're not instilling this in them. They're just showing them. Where is there going to be a safe place for children? Where is it where is there going to be a place where there's a fortress that's going to protect them until they have to be pushed out into the big, bad wolf world? You know, where are we going to have this at? And if we're looking for it in the school system, maybe you're going to be looking for a long time. They've been cutting up in school systems forever. It's just now coming to the light now, but they've been cutting up in school systems forever. So we really have to decide, what are we going to do? You know, back in the day, you couldn't homeschool your child because you had to have so many different, you know, you have to have a degree and all these different things that you have to pass, you know, for the state to pass you. It's not like that anymore, family. It's easier now to be able to homeschool your child in your home without all of this stuff. So if it doesn't bother you, then so be it. Take your children there. Don't complain, you know, about what's happening in the school. Don't do that because, mm-hmm. I mean, it's really up to you. You know, the world has been, I'm going to say for United States, we have been desensitized to what is happening. And that was the whole thing. In the movies, on the radio, everywhere has been, everything they do has been geared to desensitizing us as a people. So when stuff like this is introduced, we're okay with it. It's like, oh, okay, it's not so bad. It don't hurt so bad. You know, it don't hurt because it might have hurt. I might have thought it would hurt, but it doesn't really hurt that bad, you know. But it does. It does hurt those of us who see where this is going. When you see where this is going, then we have a serious, serious issue. But really, as melanin-rich beings, we got to do better. We have to really, really come up with something that's going to teach our children about themselves. But like I said, if you don't really care, then, you know, continue to send your children there. I'm not telling you what to do with your child because it's your child. I'm just saying don't complain about it if your child comes home and decides, well, you know what, it's a free country, free world, and I see how Jimmy at school became Jamaica. I think I might want to try that. Don't get mad.
Yeah.
The media is controlling. The media is God. The media is God. Nothing more, nothing less. Whatever the media tell us to do, that's what we do. Media say go left, we go left. Media say go right, we go right. Media say that we all just teach our children about being, you know, whatever gender you want to pick, that's what we do. Where do you get that from? You get to pick your gender now? When?
Mm.
I mean, where did it happen?
And the questions that they're pulling out and they're asking our children, do you think, what are boy colors? So you're going to say blue? Well, why is a blue a boy color? Let's show you some pictures. What about red? What about white? What about yellow? Then you're going to be bringing in, what about orange? What about pink? Okay, so now you're getting our children to think about outside the box that the parent has taught them or what they were
what they were
taught. So now you're getting them to think out like, oh, wow, yeah, right, I could wear pink. Or I could wear, and there's nothing wrong with wearing pink. I love to see a man in a gray suit with a light pink a tie on, a nice striped little tie and a little shirt and stuff on.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
Oh, yeah.
But that's his choice as an adult. But they're inculcating, they're pushing this thing in these children. Then you're going to ask them, are these toys just for girls? Or can boys play with them?
Mm-hmm.
So there you are. There you are. Family, take control of
that. When we were growing up, my brother couldn't play with no dolls. That was just, like golden rule. You can't play with
no
dolls.
No, but my brother didn't play with my dolls either, but they had those little tiny army men. Remember those green army
men? Exactly. action figures.
And they were playing with those like, crazy. Don't you even step on them.
Mm-hmm.
The action
mm-hmm.
figures they had, and then when they came out with Captain America and all of those people there, you had those little action figures. And then you came out with
yeah.
the Ken doll. Come on. But here we are.
Yeah.
Here we are. But still, us girls, we play with the Ken doll. Boys
mm-hmm.
didn't play with Ken doll. They were outside playing football, baseball, playing sick ball, whatever you want. They didn't even do hopscotch. We did the hopscotch.
Right.
We did the double dutch. They didn't do the double dutch.
Right.
So, you know, right now it's kind of crazy. Then we have to look at the fact, and I know this may be something that is, as a family, things that you could discuss with your significant other, your spouse, or whoever you're with, or a group of people, that parents are making the decisions now that these little kids are saying, like this little boy, and I remember hearing on the news, it was on CNN or somewhere, that my princess boy, because he wanted to wear dresses.
Yeah.
There's also somebody
yeah.
that made the decision to have the child get ready to go through this gender change. And this is a small child, elementary school child. Well, they want to be called this. They want to be called Sam, whatever the name was. They're not Samantha, they're Sam. And they want to wear their hair like a boy. They want to do this. So they're going to give them hormones to kind of stop all that production
like
of the breast and everything. How are you going to do that? It's your child. That child can't even wipe its butt straight. And you appear,
wow.
I'm serious, I'm upset. He can't even wipe good, and you're going to make a decision to change his gender. What's going to happen to him when he gets 15 and 16 years old and decide that, what happened? Why did you
yeah.
do that to me?
Right.
Come on.
Right. Wow. You know what, though? It's undoing everything that the parents teach their child, because I know, like, with my children, because I have boys and girls, with my children, when they were little, you know, you teach them that you're a girl, you have, you know, we call it pee-pee, you know, you have pee-pee, you have, you know, you have girl parts, and then you teach, it's at that age where you start teaching them what's the difference between a boy and a girl. There is a difference, and I don't
yeah.
care what they do and how they try to present it as if it's not really a difference. It is a difference. There is a difference.
Yeah.
And if there wasn't a difference, how come you can't put two sexes together to have children? There must be a difference. But this is what
yeah.
we, and I know that most parents, you know, I'm gonna guess and say most parents, cause I don't know most parents, but I'm sure that they have to go through that phase of helping their child to understand the difference between a girl and the difference between a boy. But today, you know, you get to go to school, and everything that you taught your child about that, they can just come and say, no, erase that. That's not what you need to know. You need to know that
mm-hmm.
there really isn't a difference, and you have a choice to choose whichever one you want. Why? Because now it's legal. Marriage is legal, and you can, you know, and again, I'm not really salty with those who are making these decisions, because they can make those decisions. That has nothing to do with my child, because my child
mm-hmm.
will never see inside of a school. My grandbaby will never see the
mm-hmm.
inside of a school. So, but I'm
mm-hmm.
concerned about other children whose parents who are, you know, sitting back going, I know this is not a good thing, but I don't know what else to do with this. So I'm going to let it ride. And you know, you may not see the effect of it today by letting it ride, but wait a few years and you're going to see the effect of letting it ride. I mean, really, I'm telling y'all, they're making a way. They're opening the door for other stuff like child pedophilia. They're making a way for that. And if you don't believe it, just stick around a few more years and watch it come to light. Just watch it happen. They're already desensitizing us. They desensitized us with this years ago by showing it on television gradually showing
mm-hmm.
it on television. Next thing you know, it was full-fledged,
mm-hmm.
you know. And now, because I just watched a video of these guys who were saying that, or explaining why, you know, they should be allowed to fantasize about children. I mean, this stuff is really serious. It's really serious.
Yeah,
the children are our next generation.
Really,
so that's why they're being targeted, y'all. They targeting the children. No so-called black child.
Right. And they're targeting the children, and they're moving the parents out of the scope of things. If we look at this Common Core, that's the beginning of it. Already
exactly.
With Common Core, parents can't work with their children with their schoolwork. So why am I going to sit there if I can't work with my child with their schoolwork, and I know I don't understand this stuff? So you're not sitting there watching them read. You're not sitting there watching them do anything, because you've already been pushed to the side as a parent with this Common Core, because you really don't know what your child is getting into. So anything that's dealing with Common Core, any homework that they're bringing home right now, you got your hands up because you don't even know what's going on. That's why families, when you're feeling like you're going to let it ride and you're just going to wait and see what happens, you need to hurry up and run and talk to people who look like you, think like you, want to do something about the situation and pull yourself together. If it ain't but a Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon, or Sunday morning, or whatever you have to do, come together for a couple of hours and teach your babies. Put some real knowledge in them. Put some real knowledge in them and do it on a consistent basis. If you feel like I got to do this, do this. But eventually somebody's going to come along and say, you know what, I think we ought to start our own school, our own co-op, or whatever you have to do for your, and rotate those teachers. As long as you have teachers that look, think, and you know who they are, because all of us ain't all of us, okay?
Right.
I'm serious. All of us ain't, some of us don't even know we black.
Exactly, or don't want to know.
We don't want to have anything to do with black. We don't want to have anything to do with our culture. We don't want our kids sitting in a black student union. We don't want them taking black history classes. When they go to college, we don't want to take them. We don't want them taking African studies. We don't want them to do any of that. But those who you know and that you trust, and you need to be a part of that. Don't drop your children off and leave. Be there with them. But 2 hours, you can't give up 2 hours of your time on a weekend to do something with your kids, or on a Friday night, somebody, we're all going to meet over my house and we're going to watch this movie, or we're going to talk about, discuss this, we're going to talk this about that with our children. Are you that tired when it comes to your child?
You ain't that tired when it comes to church on Sunday. You ain't that tired when it comes to fish fries and chicken fries on Saturday evening. You ain't that tired. You know, if churches can come together, or if because you got people who do Bible study in their home. If you can come together to do that once a week, then damn it, you can come together to bring your children and try to brainstorm and find out what we can do to help our children. I mean, there's really no excuse, because all those who make these excuses are dedicating their life on Sundays and Wednesday to Bible study, Sundays to church all day, not just an hour. I mean, you know, pink folks be in church for an hour, maybe two tops. Black folks be in church all damn day long on Sunday. So there is no excuse. You got to come together. And it can be done, because just like the churches are able to indoctrinate the child, you know, one time out the week, then you can go back and teach your child one day out the week that's going to affect them the rest of the week. It's been done already in other methods.
The rest of their life. Those children have gone to classes, to Sunday school classes, and they've been taught about Jesus, James, John, and all the apostles, and all this, David and Goliath. They are adults right now, and they, all you need is Jesus, and they'll tell you right now, because of what they learned that 1 hour on Sunday morning during Sunday school. So when you do this with your children for that 1 hour, your children can say, hey, I know who Marcus Garvey was, and I know what he stood for. I know about the transatlantic slave trade. I know about the Maafa. I know about all this stuff because I'm being taught this. So nobody could change. They could know their culture, what us African people, what we stood for.
Right.
Come on.
No, I was going to tell you, had a question in the chat room. I hope they are on the line, but they had a question about, what do you think about teaching sex ed in middle school? So I'm going to give that one to you. You're the expert at this.
Sex ed in middle school.
Mm-hmm.
Sexual education in middle school, does it really even need to be taught
in middle school. We were taught it, but I'm going to tell you, I don't know what they're teaching now, but I tell you what I was taught. We went into our classroom, and they showed us a film, and the film was young boys and young girls, white kids, sitting around at a little party. They had a little house party, and they're sitting around, and they're having fun. And then the little boy and the little girl, they walk outside, they're holding hands, and they get in the car, and next thing you know, it goes to this cartoon character where you see these little squiggly sperm trying to penetrate this egg. That was that was the extent of our sex education, and I still didn't know where babies come from. I thought you got pregnant by kissing. I thought that, you know, the male penis would go into my belly button. I ain't know. I'm junior high school. I didn't know nothing. And so I believe it's up to the parents to teach that. You find those teachable moments. I'm in the back of the car. I'm in the driving the car, and my sons are talking about women and their periods, menstruation. And so I said, what y'all talking about? They said, Mama, you know. I said, no, I don't know what you're talking about. Tell me what you're talking about. And they said, menstruation. I said, menstruation? What you know about that? What is that all about? Mama, you know when the woman has her period and she bleeds and loses the eggs and stuff, you need to know what your child knows. Let your child teach you, and then you could go ahead and correct everything that you need to know, that they need to know.
Yeah.
Because your children already know some stuff. Don't allow the school to teach them. Look what's happening now. This is sex ed.
Exactly.
You are not to be who you are. You're okay to act like you're a boy. It's okay to dress like a boy if you want to and change your name from Janisha to Johnny. Okay? It's okay. So sex education needs to come from the home. It needs to be, you need to find those teachable moments when you find your children saying things that are kind of off. You need to kind of pull them back together and say, okay, let's talk about this. That's what we need to do. It's to be taught in the home, not in the school. That's not a place. Johnny still can't read. Why are you teaching sex education and he don't know how to spell cat?
Yeah,
Don't make me mad. I'm kidding. I see too many kids that don't know how to write. They don't know how to read. And they get upset in school when the teachers have them read, so they act up, and so they get expelled and got to go to community school, which is a little place for them to hold them until they get out to go to prison.
Right. But they got an A in sexual education, though. They got an A in sex ed.
Yeah. I was running a private school, and I had a boy who was in 10th grade. He had already been to juvenile hall. He had one baby. Going back and forth, he had third grade education. I tested him with that program that I told you guys about, ACE diagnostic testing, capital A, capital D, capital E, ACE diagnostic testing. It's free. I tested him math and reading on a third grade level in 10th grade, got one baby, getting ready to go back to court, getting ready to go back to juvenile hall, got another baby on the way. Come on, what's up with that? Who's going to be taking care of that baby? He ain't.
Right.
I am. My taxpayer. I look at how much taxes I'm paying on my paycheck. They take at least almost $300 a pay period. All these little taxes that I got to pay. I look at my check. I'm like, I know I should be getting a good check this week. I'm looking at like, oh, dang, heck no.
Yes.
But somebody got to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
So teach your babies at home. And like you said, watch your damn baby.
Watch your damn baby. Thank you for letting
That's
me sit
right.
in with you, sister. I appreciate that.
I appreciate it. And this is the Education of the Miseducated System. I'll be here next week, next Tuesday, wanting to hear from you. And we'll be talking about another subject. Y'all have a wonderful evening. Goodbye.
Dynasty Radio, 1382. Move on up. Dynasty Radio, 1382.